The Ireland-Portugal Business Network is comprised of more than 200 member companies based in Portugal and Ireland. These companies are from a wide range of industries and professions and represent in excess of 25,000 people.
Welcome to another podcast of the IPBN. I'm Arnold Delville, the General Manager of the network, and I'm delighted to welcome today IPBN member Philippe Pereira. Philippe has been a loyal member of the network for a couple of years now, and we actually have tried to have Philippe on the podcast for some time. So I'm really pleased to have you with us this morning.
My pleasure, so, Arnold.
Excellent. So Philippe has a very interesting marketing concept, which we wanted really Philippe to tell us more about in our conversation today. So to give a bit of background, Philippe is the founder and CEO of CrowdClass, a tech startup which helps companies grow community engagement and brand loyalty with digital experiences powered by digital collectibles and NFTs. And on Philippe's LinkedIn profile, you will see that Philippe is a two-time startup founder, Web3 enthusiast, and sales coach. So today we'll discuss several key aspects of this new super fan-based marketing concept, what Philippe has called the Members Club, which is really a new generation super fan monetization platform across really the concerts, event promoters and curator. And so more around that than the individuals, musicians. Good morning, Philippe. Anything good you morning. Want to add about your profile or background before we start the conversation?
Just overall confirming, founded the CrowdClass Members Club, like you said. It's this new endeavor. It started as a spin-off of CrowdClass and becoming its own brand on itself, and it's actually where I've been more focused lately. CrowdClass, we still have a few customers using our platform for digital collectibles and NFTs, but yeah, definitely lately much more focused on the Members Club, the super fan monetization platform, and I'm really glad to be here, tell you a little bit more about that and explore
a little bit more about it. Excellent. All right. So could you tell us actually how you came about this new concept? I think you started to talk about it earlier this year, so it's quite a new concept. Yep. But look at it and launch this new product?
Absolutely. So it's actually a good question because it comes back to CrowdClass. So CrowdClass, like you already mentioned, we worked a lot with companies growing community engagement and brand loyalty, specifically using digital collectibles and NFTs, and that experience gave us a lot of learnings about fan engagement, about fan interaction. Mm-hmm. It made us work a lot on the media, music, sports, and entertainment world, and we started to realize a lot more about challenges in the industry, challenges for bigger brands, smaller communities, individual creators. And they all, in a way, have challenges on building communities, connecting with fans, engaging fans, right? And as we enter into a world where digital attention is scarce, and it's a huge competition, right? Communities are a way to address that in ways that you can create and identify more loyal members, bigger fans that want to interact with you, with your brand, with your creative vein. We learned a lot about this through all the work that we were doing at CrowdClass. During CrowdClass, we were specifically focused on a very niche type of interaction, which was NFT focused, using digital collectibles to use it on brand activations. But at some point, also because there was a market demand that was decreasing for that type of brand activations and technologies, we decided to, based on all the learnings that we had, look holistically to the fan engagement space, and we decided to build a more encompassing tool that can that addresses several of the challenges that we identified for a wider audience, and that was a more general tool, and that's where we came across with the idea of launching Members Club, which is in the end, it's a community monetization platform for music, media, and live entertainment as a whole.
So it's very much into building a community for long-term relationship, I would imagine. So for the ones a bit like me who are not too much familiar, could you actually explain a little bit more what are the digital collectibles and NFTs? I know it's maybe a basic questions, but maybe some of our listeners might not be so much
No, of course.
aware of that.
So, digital collectibles or NFTs, NFTs means non-fungible token, right? And it's in the end, it's a digital certificate that's issued on a blockchain, which because of that makes it completely verifiable and immutable. So it cannot be falsified. Because of that, these NFTs can be used for many different applications. They can be used for financial applications. They can be used for educational purposes. From a more fan engagement perspective, they can be used as digital memorabilia, right? Because let's say that you are a musician or a sports team that you want to celebrate a specific championship, or you want to celebrate a specific concert, right? You can do something like, I'm going to issue a limited edition digital collectible that represents this event or this particular moment. And I'm going to issue a collection of 100, right? And then I might even give some extra benefits in the future to whoever owns this 100, right? So, from a digital perspective, the NFTs allow to create these numbered, limited edition, and scarce assets that aren't falsified. You cannot simply copy one NFT without tampering the assets, right? So we know that the original asset is that one, and we can say that it's owned by Philip, by Arnold, by John, and not by anyone else, right? So on the world that's becoming increasingly digital, right, where digital ownership for younger generations and for generations who like collectibles, it means something, right? Because and the best way to prove digital ownership is through NFTs, and digital collectibles is a way to use NFTs for collectability purposes and engagement purposes. That works very well, again, on industries that already have this memorabilia concept, right? Sports, music, fandom-related industries in the end.
So it's like a badge that you have, and maybe some bonus that you
Yes.
collect.
It's like a baseball card, like a baseball card that you have, but digital. Right. And again, maybe for 99% of the world, a baseball card is just a baseball card. But there is a very specific subset of people who are really fond of baseball cards that give a lot of value to those assets. And having that baseball card with a numbered edition, it's very different than having a copy of that baseball card, even if it looks almost the same, or having that baseball card with no scratches means way m m much more than the same with a little scratch. Maybe for 99% of the world, it's the same card, but for that people that the ownership and the collectability means something, it is highly valuable,
Yeah.
right? And NFTs play that role in the digital realm, right?
Yeah. Okay. So, I mean, I think you mentioned it a little bit already, but so here we're talking about very much the digital monetization of the relation with those
Yes, absolutely.
with the people. So what would you say are the main challenges at the moment? I think you were when you were talking about maybe a decrease in streaming revenue and then the competition of attention on social media platforms.
So that's a definite. So there are two several challenges that happen when it comes to digital monetization, right? And there's definitely a big challenge on monetization for overall digital creators, but in specific also for musicians, right? Which is currently the field that we are working more. We've been working a lot with musicians, with labels, with event promoters, and that's kind of the segment that we've been knowing more and more. And definitely there is a huge challenge on monetization for these artists, because from a digital perspective, there are a few things that's been happening, right? First is direct to fan communication is diminishing a lot, especially because of the algorithmic nature that social media now has, right? A few years ago, having 1,000 followers meant something, meant that I was going to post something and those 1,000 followers would receive that message. They would follow my content. I will be communicating with them. Nowadays, it really doesn't mean anything, right? You might post something, and if the algorithm likes it, it might reach even more than those 1,000 fans, but it might even reach completely different people, right? If the algorithm doesn't like it, you might only reach maybe 100 people, right? And it's not necessarily good or bad, but it's a very different approach to what happened previously, which simply means that there are people that could be your most loyal fans that now you don't know if they will receive everything that you publish now, if they will be aware of new releases, new concerts, new information. They want to know more about you, but maybe they won't receive all the communications because of all this war for attention that happens digitally, powered by obviously a huge amount of creators now in the digital space, but also because of the algorithmic nature of social media. And this creates a lot of challenges on the communication, right? From monetization perspective, and again, especially in music, currently most of the money that's made online or in the digital space in music is through streaming, right? And the reality is, because of how streaming payouts are structured, it's really, you might have 10,000 streams per month and still don't make any kind of dent on your bank account with those 10,000 streams, right? You might have 15, 20,000 followers on Instagram. You have a lot of streams, you have a lot of likes, you have a lot of interaction, you have a lot of people listening. And then digitally, you don't make any money. You still have to make money. And the only way that many musicians end up making money is by doing concerts, by having another job, right? And so there is an opportunity, and maybe it's just a little bit more, but maybe there's an opportunity that if instead you communicate, you understand out of those 15,000 people on Instagram who are your 100, 200, 300 really followers that really like your music, that listen all the time, right? There's and if you bypass and create a direct communication with them and know who they are, then you will be able to create special offers for them. Maybe you
Yeah.
can release VIP meet and greets that people will pay for. Maybe you can release a crowdfunding campaign and those people will definitely support you. Maybe you will release an exclusive edition just for fans that's not available on
Yeah.
streaming and it costs 5 euros. And if you have 100 people, 200 people, 300 people buying that special edition of 5 euros, it will be already more
Yeah.
than whatever money you make
Yeah.
with 10,000
Yeah.
streams per
Yeah.
month on Spotify, right? So this is the challenges that we've been
Yeah.
seeing.
You're very much looking into a subscription model, isn't it?
It can be a subscription model, but more than being a subscription is a direct to fan model, right? It
Right.
doesn't have to be a subscription, but it has to be like, okay, I know I'm selling 100 t-shirts or merchandise directly to my fan, right?
Yeah.
I'm not gonna use it middleman. I'm not gonna stream via Spotify, which will then have trickle down the streams and the payouts for 100 middlemen, and maybe I get a small dent. No, it's increasing the communication direct to fan, and then by doing that, and we go back to the communities by building communities around an artist's curators. You would then and bringing them out of just social media and Spotify or streaming into a community place, which is Members Club is all about. Then you are able to build direct to fan communication and then direct to fan monetization, whether it is one-off pieces, whether it is subscriptions, right? Those
Right.
both two models work very well, and that depends a lot on the creator itself, right? So because if you are someone that is constantly pushing content and doing a lot of things, right, then subscription works well for you, right? But
Yeah,
some
yeah.
artists, they have a very loyal fan base, but they do something every 6 months or every 9 months, right? What they need to make sure is that every time they have something new, they have a direct communication with their fans where they can then sell out new products,
Yeah,
releases,
I see.
and things.
Yeah,
Does that make sense?
no, absolutely. So I think you were saying to me that at the beginning you were at the beginning you were looking at very much into the individual musician, but now you're probably expanding your scope and talking to event organizer or curator. Could you give us a little bit of examples who you are really targeting?
No, of course. So yeah, Members Club works well both for artists and for collectives in a way. What we've been seeing is that there still need to be some kind of education, right? For the mindset to shift also on the artist side. Right.
Yeah.
By default, everyone goes to Spotify and Instagram, right? It takes a little bit of effort of different mindset to start doing things like collecting emails, to sending a newsletter, right? To create exclusive content that's out on social media just for fans, right? It takes a little bit of time, mindset, and effort. And
Yeah.
we are working with a few artists, with that, but in parallel, we've been working also a lot with what we call collectives, right? Which are collectives in music, which can be things like music labels, which usually work with multiple
Right.
artists, and sometimes they organize events, and they people follow sometimes. Some fans are fans of the label because the label works as a
Yeah.
curator of a specific genre, right? Also, we identified event promoters, right? There are people that organize regularly indie rock concerts, like Punch Magazine, who works with us, right? Or Tatawim, that organizes a lot of Brazilian concerts in Portugal. So these collectives, they end up working as curators, right? And they also have communities, right? And they also need to communicate directly with their communities. And they also face the ch same, because we're not speaking here with major enterprises. They are all sometimes informal groups or small cultural associations, right? But they still have a direct to fan need, right? But at the same time, they have a little bit more structure, because sometimes it's not only one person, sometimes it's two or three, four that make part of this group or association. So they can have a little bit more structure to build up and continue to develop a community. And in the end, they also help artists bridge the connection with the fan. So yeah, we've been learning a lot that on these few recent months. And we initially started working a lot just with individuals through Members Club, but we realized that our platform was also very much used to collectives, right? And to the and to those collectives, they can use that QQ's Members Club as a hub for their community, where they can capture leads from social media, where they can have exclusive content, where they can sell products, tickets to events, and also monthly subscriptions.
Yeah, and well, I'm sure there must be a lot of interest in what you are doing. I don't know if there is a lot of competition in what you do, but and are you looking where do you think that would develop the most? I mean, are you looking at the in the Portugal events organization scene or in Ireland, or I guess this is something you can do across
It's cross borders, but it's also very localized, right? So it takes time to build local presence. So we are actually looking at three geographies in core at the moment. Obviously Portugal, right? It's kind of our go-to market. Ireland, right? We have tight connections with Ireland. We were established there initially. We're still based there. So we are already working with a few communities in Ireland, like Electronic Music Council in Cork is using
Excellent.
Members Club to manage their community and organize their events. And we also have a little bit of foothold in Brazil, right? So these are the
Nice.
three places where we have most of our clubs at this stage, and that we plan and continue
And
to work and develop
are
further.
you look sorry. Are you looking for some investors for some investment?
Yes, we are open for angel investment at this stage, right? But at the same time, we are preparing a pre-seed round that we expect to announce fully probably later to closer to the end of the year. We're now very much focused on increasing the number of clubs, the number of promoters, the number of musicians, the number of communities using Members Club, and then of course the number of events that are organized, the number of tickets that are sold, the number of products that are sold, the number of subscriptions that are sold through Members Club, because that's where we make money, right? Our business model is on transaction fees of everything that is sold through a Members Club. So now we're very much focused on increasing the volume, fine-tuning the product. It's already very solid. But we're still on that phase where we still consider ourselves in beta, so catching a lot of bugs here and there. But as we continue that pace, then we will definitely be looking to scale further, and for that we will be more actively raising investment.
I mean, the po Portugal, I think, is very well known now for his concerts
Oh
scene.
yeah,
I mean,
no,
during the summer,
Portugal.
incredible.
No, Portugal
Across the whole country,
is a very
Porto.
small country, and sometimes it's not a great country for consumer-related products, right? But actually, for music and concerts and parties and festivals, it is a country that generates a lot of volume. Last year alone, there were more than 6 million tickets sold
6 million.
a monk. Concerts, theaters, live shows, parties, festivals, not considering sports. So just live shows in spectacles, which is a big range. But just that alone, there were more than 6 million tickets sold
6 million.
on live shows in Portugal, right? So it's a 10 million country, right? 10 million people country. So it's actually quite
It's quite.
the it has a good penetration for sure.
That's great. That's really, really great. So, I don't know if there is anything else you would like to say. I quite like the post that you shared earlier this week about the VCs finally realizing how much money only fans makes.
Yes.
And then maybe you should frame or remarket the Members Club as a kind of only fans, but for music and entertainment. So I thought
It
that
is kind of that,
was quite good.
and the reality is that OnlyFans is a very interesting use case. Of obviously, they are very much focused on adult industry, not only, right? But and it's a use case that we've studied for a while, so we know actually the OnlyFans model for a while, and that's and the thing is that recently there were some posts that somebody finally saw the balance sheet of OnlyFans, right? Which is something that we know for a while, right? And suddenly there were I saw in my timeline on LinkedIn a lot of people just mentioning OnlyFans as a success case. Although it's just pretty much focused on adult industry, it's not only, but
No.
it actually it encompasses this direct to fan approach and the power that it has when you
Exactly.
communicate directly with your fans, when you build an audience. Because in the end, and this is something that we tell our musicians a lot of times, right? It's the same. You will make more money selling 100 t-shirts on a night than you will make on an entire year of Spotify streamings, right? So why are you not speaking with those 100 people, right? Why are you still chasing one more stream on Spotify? Okay, that's good. It's not bad. That's obviously right, but it's not the only thing. It's not the only thing that might give you maybe access to a major at some point, but if you want to remain independent, you really want to speak with those 100 people. You want to know those names. Right? And it's really not that hard to know those names because when you release something, they will be there and put the money on the table. Right?
And
And
do
go ahead,
Sorry.
Aaron.
Yeah, sorry. And do you see that happening, that change of mentality that they should really, I mean, do they see the revenue that they could make it with that
The
model?
ones that are truly independent and indie, they go on that route, but it still takes time. But there are several use cases of some musicians that through subscription models using Patreon, some actually using OnlyFans, have been monetizing quite well. Again, it's not Taylor Swift level. It's these are not, but it is a livable wage by making music to your fans, right? And many musicians are not even there, right? And maybe by shifting this mindset, they could build a more regular wage doing what they love, speaking to their audience.
So at the moment, you talk more to the curator or the organizer than individual musician, or do you do both? I know we
We do
spoke a little
both.
bit
We
about
do
that, but
both, right? We do both, right? But it's now
with
it
the
comes out.
curator, you sorry, with the curator, you can reach more people, of course,
Exactly. With
more
a
musicians.
curator, we reach more, right? The curators organize the events themselves. They also build merch, and they usually are a little bit structured, right? So for us at the stage, as we are growing, right, especially because there's a lot of education that is still required on the creator or on the individual side. We Members Club are having better partnerships that are driving revenue for ourselves more with curators and
Of course.
collectives. But our vision, our mission is to, as we grow by working with this type of client, we also continue to support and bring new ways of interaction to musicians. As our platform becomes easier to use and we improve our user friendliness, we also know it will be easier for many of these musicians to use it, which sometimes they are not really tech literates. So there's a lot of things that we are working on. Some of them are more long term, some are more short term. And that's where the balance is in the end.
Well, that's really, really good and really fascinating. I think this is a great
Thank you.
concept, and we will
Thank you.
definitely we'll definitely help you with the contact we have in the network. I think you're already talking to few of the members.
I am. No,
But yeah.
the network has been great for us since the
Excellent.
start. So it's good.
So
Yeah, absolutely.
keep us informed about the development.
Always.
If you have free ticket for concerts, let us
I can let
know.
you know.
No, but yes, no, thanks very much. And
My
hope
pleasure,
to see
Arnold.
you in person very, very soon at some of the
Yeah,
events. Okay.
I've been planning to go to a few events. I see if I can join on some here in Lisbon until
Yeah.
the end of the year.
Excellent. Thanks a lot.
This has been a production of the IPBN in partnership with Pinkroom. For more information, visit us online at island-portugal.com and on LinkedIn at Island Portugal Business Network. For more IPBN podcasts, find us on Spotify or visit our website for the full list of episodes.